we're going to have to rebuild within this wild, wild west of information flow some sort of curating function.
It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve.
We've got to maybe do something with the internet.
Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Somebody will say, oh, freedom of speech, freedom of speech. These are foolish people.
The Chinese government monitors foreign WeChat to tune domestic censorship filters. What to do about fake news when the fake gatekeepers are even worse? Facebook assembles a 20-person Supreme Court of free speech, and the software model behind the global coronavirus lockdown turns out to be garbage. Hi there, everybody. It is Mark Cheftovic here with another episode of the Axis of Easy Weekly Digest. This is episode number 145. We're taping this on May the 12th, and you will find the show notes for this week's edition on accessofeasy.com/145. You can also find this podcast on your favorite podcast platforms like Stitcher, Spotify, and iTunes. Please leave a rating and a review for us out there to help other people find the show. Let's do the quotes. If I can find the quotes, here they are. Last week's quote was, "The bulk of misinformation still comes from the class of people calling for censorship. They want their monopoly back," by Matt Taibbi, or however you pronounce his name. He's, he writes for Rolling Stone and so forth. Nobody got it, but it came from an article he wrote called "The Inevitable Coronavirus Censorship Crisis is Here." It's a great read. I would check that out. This week's quote is, "The whole aim of practical politics is to keep the populace alarmed and hence clamorous to be led to safety by an endless series of hobgoblins, most of them imaginary. Remember the rules, don't search it up, and the first person to post the correct source of the quote to the show notes page gets their next domain or web hosting renewal on us." Okay, so the CCP monitors foreign WeChat to tune domestic censorship. So Toronto's Citizen Lab has released a new report detailing how the Chinese government is conducting extensive surveillance on WeChat traffic that was previously thought to be confined to domestic China-registered accounts only. Other key findings include that, quote, "Documents and images transmitted entirely among non-China registered accounts undergo content surveillance wherein these files are analyzed for content that is politically sensitive in China, and files deemed politically sensitive are used to inevitably train up and build up WeChat's Chinese political censorship system," end quote. Citizen Lab reached out to WeChat's parent company, which is Tencent, for a comment on how they handle this, and they didn't get a response. File this one under the "Do not try this at home," but negative oil price triggers trading software bug and wipes out a bunch of traders. So Bloomberg tells us the tale of Toronto-based Syed Shah, who normally trades stocks and currencies in his Interactive Brokers account. On April 20th, Shah decided he was going to try his hand at trading oil futures, which was the absolute wrong day to make that decision, because that's the day oil went negative for the first time in history, at one point printing a negative $37 a barrel handle. So Shah walked into that thinking he was buying into an unsustainable discount on oil. He spent $2,400 from his account on futures contracts, starting out at $3.30 a barrel, loaded up on more at 50 cents a barrel, and then it sort of culminated in a crescendo at the unbelievable price of 1 penny a barrel. Although oil didn't just fall to 1 penny a barrel, it kept going below zero, turned negative. Only Shah and any of the other traders on Interactive Brokers that were doing the same thing didn't know this because the platform wasn't coded to handle negative oil prices. None of them knew that the contracts they were buying were actually costing them money the further oil went below zero. So when the end of day settlement notices went out, Shah, who started the day out with a balance of $77,000 in his account, now owed Interactive Brokers $9 million. Interactive Brokers has since acknowledged the negative price exposed a bug in their own system, and so they're going to be making all of these traders whole out of their own book, and it's estimated that that's going to cost them about $113 million. This reminds me of our first Axis of Easy Salon with Charles Hugh Smith and Jesse Hirsch and I, and we discussed this kind of unprecedented signal distortion that's coming out of the system and what that kind of means. Things like negative interest rates, negative prices on oil. It kind of is flashing bright red warning lights on the global monetary system, I think. Anyhow, what to do about fake news when fake authority is worse? So a longtime friend and Easy DNS client sent me this article over the weekend because he kind of watched a really horrendous Facebook thread I started just turn toxic and kind of go out of control. And by the end of it, another longtime friend and Easy DNS customer unfriended me on Facebook. I mean, we've talked about it and we're still in, you know, everything's cool, but it you know how it gets on social media. It reminds me of that review I wrote about Jaron Lanier's book, 10 Reasons to Delete Your Social Media Accounts Right Now. It was like that. The worst aspect of every single one of those attributes came out in this thread. Anyway, the article forwarded to me was by an award-winning journalist and author of the very excellent The Madness of Crowds, Douglas Murray. You should read that book. And he looks at the other side of the fake news coin, which is the fake gatekeeper. Quote, "I am thinking of those people who present themselves as referees of the era, keepers of the narrative, people who weigh up stories and events and pronounce not just what is right and wrong, but what is discussable and what is not, who allow themselves to declare what is and is not off limits." End quote. And he goes on, he points out how gatekeeping at all is a dangerous business because something gatekeepers may deem as misinformation could embarrassingly turn out to be true, or something that the gatekeepers put forth as truth turns out not to be true. And then the gatekeepers look like idiots, and for some unfathomable reason, nobody trusts the press or the politicians anymore. Even worse, it diminishes the ability of the wider society to determine what is true and what is false. And that's something that I've been wrestling with lately myself. I wrote an article about it over on Guerrilla Capitalism, about when conspiracy theory meets radical uncertainty. And to be honest, I don't know if you feel this way too, but I have no idea what to think about anything anymore. And I'm actually suspicious of people who aren't racked with paralyzing doubt. I feel a little gaslit. I really doubt my own sanity sometimes. Anyway, in case you're wondering what I posted that triggered my Facebook friends to pile onto me, it was a clip of Tucker Carlson ranting about big tech censorship. We'll link to that in the show notes page as well. Open server triggers privacy fears around contact tracing apps. So here's a name that's going to sound familiar to anybody who follows this newsletter or podcast. Bob Dianchenko strikes again. He's the guy who keeps finding wide open servers and databases sitting out in the open on the internet. This time he found a server belonging to the NSO group, just sitting there, wide open, no password protection, data for the taking. NSO Group has also featured in Axis of Easy in the past. They're the Israeli cyber espionage company that national governments hire to hack into the mobile communications of meddlesome journalists and dissidents, including the ill-fated Jamal Khashoggi. NSO was also under investigation by the FBI for possibly being behind the famous Jeff Bezos phone hack. Anyway, it looks like NSO has been awarded an Israeli government contract to handle coronavirus contact tracing data, and the server Dianchenko found was part of that contract for a system called Fleming. Quote, Fleming is designed to pour in confirmed coronavirus test data from the health authorities and phone location data from the cell networks to identify people who may have been exposed to a person with the virus. Anyone who came into close proximity to a person diagnosed with coronavirus would be notified. End quote. According to NSO, it was only holding test data, so everything's fine, according to them, but I do feel safer knowing that a company whose core competence includes compromising the privacy of citizens being targeted by their own governments has landed a contract to safeguard contact tracing data. Don't you? On that note, Canada's privacy commissioners issue a joint statement on contact tracing apps. So a joint statement from Canada's federal, provincial, and territorial privacy commissioners put out a set of guidelines that should be followed by all contact tracing apps. The commissioners observed that the coronavirus pandemic has spurred extraordinary measures and that, quote, some of these measures will have significant implications for privacy and other fundamental rights. The choices that our governments make today about how to achieve both public health protection and respect for our fundamental Canadian values, including the right to privacy, will shape the future of our country. End quote. They laid out 9 principles, and they include consent and trust, legal authority, necessity and proportionality, purpose limitation, de-identification, time limitation, transparency, accountability, and safeguards. And hopefully the government of everyone who implements contact tracing will follow these guidelines. Zoom acquires Keybase. Not much to add to that headline that Zoom is buying Keybase, and it spawned at least a few Keybase alternatives threads, like an R Keybase on Reddit and another thread on Hacker News, which we're going to link to in the show notes. And, I have a Keybase account. I'm Mark JR on Keybase if you want to find me there. I also have Signal and Telegram, and we even, by the way, have a Telegram group out there on for Access of Easy. If you want to check us out there, we'll put the link to that in the show notes. If you want to find me on Telegram, I'm just at Stunt Pope, and I'm also at Stunt Pope on Twitter if you want to follow me on that as well. The dream is over. Google scuttles smart city plan for Toronto. This one really took me by surprise, but Google is pulling the plug on the planned smart city development in Toronto's harbourfront area. Their sister company, Sidewalk Labs, announced via a blog post by the CEO, Dan Doctoroff. Quote, as unprecedented economic uncertainty has set in around the world and in the Toronto real estate market, it has become too difficult to make the 12-acre project financially viable without sacrificing core parts of the plan we had developed together with Waterfront Toronto to build a truly inclusive, sustainable community. End quote. So that's that. I was sort of half following Sidewalk. I had started some research on it ahead of an article I wanted to write on Access of Easy, or series of articles. One of my clippings was a long-form piece called 10 Reasons to Say No, a primer on Sidewalk Labs' plan for Toronto. That's on a website called thesocialistproject.ca. Yes, they're socialists, and I kind of recoil from socialism, but it's a pretty good article, and I would check that out. It does cover the sort of basic fundamental principles on which Sidewalk Labs was going to operate or attempt to operate. Okay, Facebook assembles a 20-person Supreme Court of Free Speech. Last week, Facebook announced their so-called Supreme Court of Content Moderation. It's a standalone panel intending to function independently. The Supreme Court label comes from a speech given by Zuck in 2018 in which he expressed the desire to form, quote, some sort of structure, almost like a Supreme Court, end quote, to be the final arbiters over what is or isn't allowed to be said on the social media platform. Doing that would thus absolve Facebook execs from having to deal with the headaches of moderating content, which they could also deal with by just not doing it. Anyhow, the 20-person tribunal is well represented across liberal progressive intersections and even contains a token conservative in Michael McConnell and a libertarian guy, John Samples of the Cato Institute. My guess is the first 100 verdicts by the panel are going to be 18-2, 18-2, 18-2, 18-2, 18-2, ad infinitum. Anyhow, GitHub takes down Popcorn Time again. So the Popcorn Time BitTorrent project came back online in March after being hounded offline by numerous court orders and takedowns after it launched in 2014. And it launched version 4.0 free for download via GitHub in March, and GitHub has now taken down the repository, receiving a DMCA notice from the MPA. YouTube deletes David Icke's channel. How do you pronounce it? YouTube has taken David Icke's channel down for purportedly violating policies against spreading coronavirus misinformation. At the risk of going on a rant, someone please explain to me what coronavirus misinformation is. Who the hell knows? The CEO of YouTube has literally defined it as anything that goes against World Health Organization or CDC directives. So my beef with that is, given that the World Health Organization and the CDC have both been wrong, late, or even contradict each other, it seems a bit of a moving target to comply with the approved narrative. The move came days after Facebook removed his page from their platform, and the last I checked, his Twitter account was still online, but I think it's, you know, the way things are going, I give it till Friday till it's gone from there too. There was a concerted campaign by a group called the Center for Countering Digital Hate, CCDH, who was actively pushing to deplatform Icke. They had a deplatform Icke hashtag going, and you know, something about that just kind of strikes me as ironic, that a group called Countering Hate is actively out pushing a deplatform somebody hashtag. Anyway, Icke is gone. He'll blame it on the lizard people, I'm sure, but I think, as per chapter 4 of my book, Unassailable, does deplatforming work? No, it doesn't. I think this is just going to be marketing gold for Icke, and he's going to sell more books and event passes as a result. This week on the Axis of Easy, we had a lot going on. Software model behind the global lockdown turns out to be garbage. So I wrote this almost off the cuff. An anonymous ex-Google engineer did a code review of the Imperial College software that modeled 2.5 million deaths in the US and 500,000 in the UK. This model reportedly swung Boris Johnson from pursuing a Swedish-style herd immunity approach towards the full lockdown that then went global, and it turns out the code is shit code. I wrote a quick article about it on the site. I almost didn't bother posting it, but it's now officially the most widely read and circulated thing I've ever written. It just went completely viral, and it really must have hit a nerve, so check it out. Jesse Hirsch wrote an article on the acceleration of cybercrime. Quote, if desperate times call for desperate measures and many people remain in self-isolation, then engaging in remote criminal work may be a convenient or desperate action for people to take, end quote. Charles Hugh Smith just this morning penned a great piece on The Way of the Dow is Reversal. He wrote 8 key pivot points reversals that he thinks are going to happen over the next few years. Just an example of one of them is that negative interest rates are coming, they will fail, and as a result, interest rates are going to skyrocket. That's kind of the nature of the Tao. Then we did, Jesse, Charles, and myself did an Axis of Easy Salon number 3. We called it The Future is Inherently Political, and we talked about the concept of the savior state and whether it's possible to be a survivalist without any social capital. It was a really interesting conversation, and I would recommend checking it out. So the links to all of these things are on the show notes page, accessofeasy.com/145. And as always, stay healthy, stay safe, stay sane, and we will see you all next week. Looking good.
that friendly guest, runs with your fresh. They just got home.